Welcome back, Michael Warren Thomas. Here it's Discover the Finger Lakes. It's SaverLife.com. And the Seneca Lake Wine Trail put out a very helpful, and I got a lot of feedback on it from people, an article, a post on Facebook about what's happening at the wineries in general, and especially tasting fees, which maybe 10 years ago, there were very few wineries, 15, that had tasting fees. They were unusual. And up until sort of pre, and this is my editorial, not the Seneca Lake Wine Trails, but pre-pandemic, most wineries had instituted tasting fees, and Dr. Frank was one of the last to do that. And I think that's a good thing that the wineries have tasting fees. When I visited California 10 years ago, they all had tasting fees. And the region has grown here in the Finger Lakes in terms of tourism and notoriety and quality of wine. And we don't need to give it away. Many wineries, if you pay the tasting fee, will take some or all of that off any purchases of wine that you make, which is a very nice thing to do. But again, the quantity of tourists that visit the Finger Lakes means that wineries could pour cases and cases of wine every day for free. And, you know, who knows what people would purchase. And groups would go from winery to winery and drink the free wine, free tastes, and get drunk and not purchase anything. And that is negative in many ways. Who wants to see people who are drunk in a tasting room where you're trying to enjoy some wine or buy some wine? So the days of free tasting are pretty much long over at this point, but they have gone up, and so this is what they said in this article posted to Facebook. It says, we want to take a minute to address tasting fees. Yes, tasting fees have increased. Why? Let us explain. And they add, more employees are required than ever before to welcome you, sanitize and clean constantly, take orders, run to and from tables in the tasting room to pour flights, and so on. Not to mention, wineries have had to add decks, erect tents, purchase tables, chairs, umbrellas, and stools, and bring on more employees. All of this is just to remain open, to compare the old way of doing things to the new way, or expecting the same price, is sort of like comparing a drive-through to a sit-down dining experience. Not really apples to apples, or in our case, grapes to grapes. There's some really great benefits to these changes. A more relaxed and less crowded visit for you. Instead of being elbow to elbow at a tasting counter, you now have your own space to sit back, relax, and enjoy. Slowing down is a good thing. So all that being said, again, I'm reading from Seneca Lake Wine Trail. Let's talk price. Pre-COVID, tasting fees averaged between $5 and $7 each. These days, the price, or the range, is a bit wider, between $5 and $10, with most falling in the $8 to $10 range, and a few being a bit higher. The food component is offered for a dollar, or rolled into your tasting fee, and isn't a meal, but rather a small packet of crackers or something similar. Wineries have always had crackers or biscuits to help cleanse your palate. The only difference now is they have to show them on your receipt. Much of what wineries have had to do these past couple of months is completely out of their control, but they've done it because they love what they do, making great wine and sharing it with you. Join us for smiles, beautiful scenery, and of course, great wine. And again, that's Seneca Lake Wine Trail posting some details about tasting fees. And you follow them on Facebook, Seneca Lake Wine Trail. Of course, it's the biggest wine trail in New York State, and it's got to be one of the biggest in the country. There are about 30 or 30-plus members of the Seneca Lake Wine Trail. Unfortunately, you know, their events, most of those have been canceled this year, the large tasting events. And I'm not sure what the status is right now of Deck the Halls. That's a November-December event, so they may be holding off on deciding about that. But, you know, the organizations like the Seneca Lake Wine Trail and Cuca Wine Trail, Cayuga Wine Trail, there's a Canandaigua Wine Trail, Lake Ontario Wine Trail, they use those special events to pay for promotion, for things that they're doing, whether it's advertising or, printing brochures, etc. And so these organizations are definitely struggling to try to keep things going and help their member wineries while income has been drastically reduced. So, you know, one of the factors in visiting wineries, I've promoted this for quite a few years, you don't need to go to 6 or 8 wineries in a day. In fact, like for me, it's a lot more fun to go to maybe 1 in the morning, have some lunch, go to 1 or 2 in the afternoon, and that's about it. And so, you know, as the tasting fees increase, you know, if you were to try to go to 6 to 8 wineries and pay the tasting fees, that might be an expensive afternoon. And I think maybe you get some of that back if you purchase a wine, but still, I think it's more relaxing and probably takes more time, even if you wanted to hurry at the wineries, just because of the way they have to do the flights or the tastings. And, again, you're not just going up to a tasting bar and tasting 3 or 4 wines and then leaving. Often they're doing flights, and so you sit down at a picnic table or one of the tables and chairs that they've added and go through that flight and decide whether you want to purchase some wine. I agree that we slow down the experience of and enjoy the wine, look about the winery, the region. And get to know the area by visiting perhaps somewhat fewer wineries. If you want some recommendations, maybe you have one winery in particular you're going to and you want a couple others to visit, send me a note, michael@saverlife.com, and perhaps I can help you with some other suggestions. Many wineries are doing this tastings by appointment, so certainly not all of them, but many of them are. So I would call in advance to a couple of wineries, and then, you know, if you have time, maybe add 1 or 2 wineries. I'm in favor of the tasting fees. I was in favor when they started, when that became a common practice, and having them go up a little bit during a pandemic is certainly understandable. And again, perhaps you'll get some of those tasting fees off bottles of wine that you purchase. There are tons of wineries to choose from. And if you add the wineries in Western New York, like Arrowhead Spring Vineyards, which has been a longtime sponsor of a wine show on Sundays, there's a couple hundred wineries that you can visit within 2 hours of Rochester. And if you add in the Canadian wineries, there's well over 300 wineries that you could visit within a two and a half hour drive, which is a remarkable number of wineries, and really a region that's New York State and the Ontario, Canada, becoming more and more renowned for wine. There was an article recently, and it was a British writer writing about Finger Lakes wines and giving us some publicity, as I think Rick Rainey from Forge Cellars said, across the pond. And if you want a link to this, email me, michael@saverlife.com. It's the buyer connecting the premium on trade. This is on-premise wine trade, I think, is what they're referring to. The article came out July 31st. American viticulture has the ability to deliver fantastic, mineral-driven, complex, refined, long-aging, and refreshing white wines that remind one of great wines, such as Burgundy, Mosel, and the Loire. But the past new American AVAs, viticultural areas, are developing their own unique characteristics. Nowhere is this more true than Finger Lakes in New York State, whose cool climate a renaissance in the past 8 years, switching from a semi-dry style to dry and starting to reap the benefits. So we'll writes about some of the history. It's really we'll be generating some tourism when national tourism starts to grow. But these some of these wines are available in England and in France and other parts of Europe. So we don't have to wait until people come here. A surprising number of Finger Lakes wines are available in Europe, and highlighted wines from Empire Estate and Herman J. Weimer, Bellwether, Nathan Kendall, Berry Family Cellars, Red Newt, and Dr. Constantine Frank, and Ford Cellars, Osmote, Seneca Lake, which does not have a tasting room, but makes initially Chardonnay, now making a Riesling as well. So a fairly long article online, and a chance to maybe learn more about a few wineries you didn't know that much about. Osmote certainly isn't that well known, and really well done article, and the article focusing on some degree. It says locals returning to their roots after gleaning global winemaking experience. Graduates of the wine program at Cornell and others have worked their way up through the industry. So, and great article. It's the buyer or the-buyer.net. But if you want the link, happy to send it to you. Send me a note, michael@saverlife.com. The grapes are maturing. They're turning color. I was over at Ugly Duck Coffee shop in downtown Rochester. It's not on Charlotte Street. I'm not actually sure if that's what the name of that street is, the one-way street that Ugly Duck is on, now that I think of it. But if you haven't been to Ugly Duck, they have grapevines growing over their entrance, and I planted that grapevine back when it was a little bakery. Planted some of the roses that are there too, and some of the things on the side garden. I had great fun working on the gardens there when it was a little bakery, and so that variety of grape is actually called Glenora. It's a French-American hybrid, and they're getting coffee this week. Someone tasted one of the grapes because they turned color. It's a purple grape, and many of them had turned color, and people think that they're ripe. They're nowhere near being ripe, and this person didn't spit it out. They sort of played it cool, and someone asked them how it was. They said, well, it tasted a little grapey. I'm not sure it tasted that good, but the grapes undergo veraison, a changing color, and that happened at least a couple weeks ago that process started happening. But it doesn't mean that they're going to taste good. It just means they look more like what they'll look like when you harvest them. So don't bother trying any of the grapes at the Ugly Duck. They won't be ready until a month from now at the earliest. And you can generally tell when the grapes are getting ripe, because the yellow jackets will to be hanging around and sampling some of them too. So it's kind of a cool grapevine there, I think, Ugly Duck. And the variety is called Glenora. And there are tons of varieties that you probably haven't heard of. You'll be able to sample them in another month and a half when a couple of the juice plants start pressing in September and October. So Folkerson and Randall Standish, two key places to get fresh pressed grape juice. If you want to make your own wine, or if you, like I do, just want to drink fresh pressed grape juice. And we're going to have some hot weather the next few days. So I'm defrosting another half gallon of grape juice, maybe Catawba this time. It's delicious and refreshing with a little seltzer water, or just on ice on hot summer days. And I got to drink this up, I can replenish my supply in the freezer this fall as harvest gets closer. And now we're in August. We are partway through August, and usually our grape will be harvested kind of end of August, late September. Some of the very first grapes were not. Now, if recommendations on where to go, email me, michael@saverlife.com. One of the Finger Lakes restaurants, so it's got the publicity. In fact, within the first year, had six pages in Wine Spectator about it, was the FLX Wienery. And I mentioned that during the food show today, that they have now opened in Rochester, a second location at Rock Brewing. So if you want to see what's up with FLX Wienery, you've probably never been to a Wienery before. It is at Rock Brewing on Union Street. Closed only on Mondays. And a lunch day and Wednesday, it's dinner only. And closed only on Mondays at Rock Brewing. They have just reopened after opening, but of course, with the coronavirus pandemic, things got pushed back, and they opened this past Thursday. So, congratulations to Christopher and Isabel on another restaurant group. Thursday said, this is not really a restaurant group, it's an empire of tastes. And got some cool things on the menu. Rock Brewing is upping their game also with some new beers. Chris Spinelli and his team at Rock Brewing really doing a phenomenal job. And their Logarithm beer has become one of my favorites. Really this addition of FLX Wienery differentiates them among the breweries in Rochester. So exciting to have this Finger Lakes. Well, exciting to have a master sommelier. Christopher Bates is a master sommelier owning a restaurant in Rochester. If you have some great food while you're out in Rochester, or outdoor dining, especially good service, love to hear about that and give those people some extra free publicity. Just email me, michael@saverlife.com. I mentioned last week the Genesee Country Village and Museum is open with special events. And if you want to connect with our history and yet still be mainly outside, it's a gorgeous place to visit this time of the year. And if you haven't been in a few years, or in quite a few years, you may be surprised at what a great museum it is. Other museums have now reopened. Eastman Museum with their new glass entrance off that main parking lot. That's exciting, and one of their biggest renovations in many, many years. And it's a gorgeous new entrance, you should stop and check it out. Even if you're not going in the museum, maybe just drive through and see what they've done. They also have beautiful gardens there at the Eastman Museum. some of which you don't need to go in the museum to see. The pergola, rock garden area over by university is really beautiful. I was driving around some in that neighborhood, and it's just a pretty time of year to see some of the architecture and walk or drive, maybe park and, you know, take a walk around a few blocks. Generally not that many people out. There are lots of people in the parks, especially on the weekends, but walk around some of the neighborhoods of Rochester and enjoy the architecture and the gardens, the trees. It's just a beautiful time of the year. We'll be back tomorrow with the Grapevine at 9 a.m. Have some more details on some of the wineries that I mentioned. And again, email me if you have suggestions on places that you've been recently or some wines that you've had. That's michael@saverlife.com. I just had a dry rosé from Casalarga last night. That was really delicious. And Casalarga's added a food truck, by the way. So some new things. They actually do two dry rosés if you get out there. And we'll talk about a couple other newer wines they've just released on tomorrow's wine show. We'll be back 9 a.m. tomorrow with a Grapevine here at SaverLife.com. Have a great day.